They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What happens to Netflix without its co-founder behind the wheel? I'm David Brancaccio. The co-founder of Netflix, Reed Hastings, is stepping down after running the company for more than 20 years. He guided the transition from DVD by mail, remember that, to the streaming juggernaut it is today, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Reed Hastings' departure from the company's day-to-day operations, he'll become executive chairman of the board, is part of a succession plan that started almost 2 years ago with the appointment of programming chief Ted Sarandos as co-CEO. Sarandos will remain in that role and is joined by Greg Peters, the company's chief operating officer. Peters oversaw the development of Netflix's ad-supported subscription tier. That new tier came as Netflix's dominance in the streaming arena was starting to show cracks after challenges from a long list of competitors. In the first two quarters of last year, Netflix lost subscribers for the first time since the company became a streaming-only service in 2011. In the last 3 months of last year, Netflix gained nearly 8 million subscribers, far more than expected. Still, it barely made a profit, and one challenge for the new leadership is that investors are growing impatient with streamers that grow subscriptions, but not profits. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The weak stock market gets so much attention, but there's more money in bonds, and this year, actually from early November onward, the bond market has been running stronger. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial.
By and large, investors are increasingly convinced the Fed has inflation heading in the right direction. And that's what's reflected in particularly long-term bond yields starting to move lower. It's a combination of a smaller inflation premium, and it's also a reflection of the idea that once inflation is lower, there's no need for the Fed to have interest rates nearly as high as they are now. So lower real yields in the future, lower inflation in the future translates to lower long-term interest rates.
First, it was gasoline, milk, or rent getting more expensive. Now it's also the digital stuff. A few days ago, HBO Max subscribers got the email demanding $1 more a month, $12 more a year. Now there's news Amazon is increasing the prices of some of its music subscriptions by $1 a month. It is now cheaper to rent a three-bedroom place than it is to own a home in most parts of the country. That's according to a new report from real estate data company Atom, and it's a significant shift from a year ago. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
In certain big, expensive cities like New York, renting has long been cheaper than owning for the most part. But that did not used to be the case in many smaller cities. As recently as last year,
it was actually less expensive to own a property than to rent in about 60% of the markets across the country.
Rick Sharga at Atom says now it's less expensive to rent than own in 95% of markets.
It was a pretty amazing divergence from the trends that we'd seen really over the last few years.
Home prices have risen significantly during the pandemic, but what really changed the calculus, he says, was when mortgage rates doubled in just a matter of months last year.
The average monthly payment, because of that, went up between 45 and 50% in most of the country. And that knocked the legs out from under affordability for a lot of prospective homeowners.
And made renting more affordable than owning, if you're just looking at the average monthly payment. But Ali Wolf at the housing data and consultancy firm Zonda says that's not the only thing to consider when weighing whether to rent or buy.
When you look at rent versus own, you also need to think about, from an owning perspective, What other values come with becoming a homeowner?
Even if in the short term, it may be cheaper to rent.
If you think longer term in terms of wealth building, there's still value in homeownership.
And she says the fact that homeownership has become so much less affordable for so many will make the wealth gap in this country even bigger. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The Sundance Film Festival is up and running this week in Park City, Utah. It's in person for the first time in 3 years, need I say why. At Sundance, attendees can just enjoy the new movies, but the big business is trying to interest potential distributors and buyers. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more on what a return to a film festival IRL in real life could mean for the business of independent film.
Variety film critic Peter DeBruge has a favorite spot to watch movies at Sundance, in the front row of the balcony. He says you can really feel the audience's energy from there.
It's not that it necessarily changes my review. My reaction is my reaction. And I think that's true of people who are buying movies too. But at the same time, you know, suddenly, you know, whether I love or hate a film, I know what the audience is going to think.
Sundance was held virtually the past 2 years, which means DeBruge and potential film distributors have been watching world premieres in their PJs. Joanna Vicent is CEO of the Sundance Institute.
You know, I think people really crave coming back to that theatrical experience and discovering new talent and having this experience that is so unique to Sundance.
Vicent is quick to point out that some films still had success when they debuted online with the festival. The winner of the most recent Oscar for Best Picture, Coda, was picked up by Apple in 2021 for $25 million. And the majority of filmmakers with movies premiering at Sundance are actively seeking distributors for their work, including Laura Gabbard, whose new documentary is called Food and Country.
We do want to sell the film. So there are buyers at Sundance, and something really magical that happens at a Sundance premiere.
Gabbard's movie tells the story of independent farmers, fishermen, and restaurateurs through the lens of food critic Ruth Reichel.
My parents didn't care about food, but they loved restaurants.
Back in 2015, another of Gabbard's movies called City of Gold debuted at Sundance, and she received multiple offers. She thinks that would not have happened if she'd just sent distributors a link to the film.
You know, it was a lot of buyers in the room and feeling the excitement and laughing along in the audience and feeling moved.
Gabbard says it's not just her film that's at stake right now, but the independent film genre as a whole.
It's getting harder and harder to be an independent filmmaker, and it's getting harder and harder to find the financing for truly independent films.
That means if they're not getting shown in a theater at Sundance, they may not get shown in theaters anywhere. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And NBC News is reporting that about 50 children were found to be doing cleaning at Midwestern slaughterhouses, including one in Nebraska and one in Minnesota. Some were as young as 13. Homeland Security officials suspect they're victims of labor trafficking. The report says the human trafficking investigation is not focused on the companies involved, but on a criminal organization that appears to be forcing the children to take these jobs, often on the graveyard shift overnight. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.